1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 19, here's what the Bible says. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law is under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law is without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight, for each one that's here, for this another opportunity to open your word, read it, hear it preached. And I pray tonight, Holy Spirit, that as you have already, that you continue to be in charge of the service, that you would direct my thoughts, my words, you would direct our ears and our hearts to hear what you have for us tonight, and that we'd be obedient as you speak to us. If there is somebody here tonight that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, I pray tonight would be the night that they decide to receive him. Which in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I outlined this sermon on the airplane when we the day after Christmas when we flew, and I didn't know when the Lord was going to have me preach it, but I felt later on in the week, and especially yesterday, that this is the message that he wanted me to preach tonight. You know, the Bible is an appealing book. Year after year, it's the Bible that's the bestseller. We've read throughout the year about these Harry Potter books and how they're selling thousands and thousands of copies. But I read an article two or three weeks ago, and it was dated sometime in October, where they kept track of book sales through October, and they were projecting for the year 2003 that, again, as it has been many years in a row, consecutive, and many years in the past, the Bible, again, is going to be the best-selling book in the year 2003. That's on a worldwide basis. The reason that the Bible is so appealing, as I was thinking about it, is that the Christ of the Bible appeals to so many people. Now, I know that some people have nothing to do with Jesus. And I know that some people, when you present Jesus to them, are offended and will not give you the time of day as you talk to them about Jesus. But if a person really understands who Jesus is and what he did, he will appeal to every single person. We got something in the mail that Adam stole and took home today before I had a chance to look at it. But Mel Gibson has produced a movie. Maybe you've read about it. He stirred up a big controversy about the last hours of Christ. And I don't know when it's going to be released, but the reviews are that this is the most accurate depiction of the last hours of Christ that has ever been produced. It'll probably be rated R because of the violence that's in it. And on this CD that they, this DVD that they sent us, he talks about what his hope is in producing the film. That he believes in the gospel story, believes in the Jesus of the gospel story. He wants people to really understand what Jesus went through when he suffered on the cross. So many times we sort of glamorize it, or we don't really stop and picture and are able to picture in our mind the suffering that Jesus went through on Calvary. And it'll be interesting to see what it how it comes out. But the Christ of the Bible, if people really take the time to listen to his story and listen to what he's done for each of us, he is an appealing Savior. That's why the book is so appealing. And the reason that Jesus is so appealing is that he reaches out to people to find a touch point with people and then deals with that person from that point. That's exactly what Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He says, I'm free, but I've become a servant. Because I want to be able to witness to other servants. And so I've made myself a servant so that I have a touch point with those folks that are servants, so that we have something in common so that I have a starting point to talk to them about my Savior. He says, I've done the same thing to the Jews. Of course, Paul was a Jew by birth, and he was raised a Pharisee, one of the strictest sects of the Jews. But when he got saved, he realized that all the ceremony and all the ritual that went along with the Jewish religion was to no avail. It was all replaced by the sacrifice of Christ. And yet he said, I didn't lose touch with my people. I still had that touch point with them so that I can reach them for the Savior. You go and you read in the book of, I think it's in the book of Romans, and Paul said, my heart desire and my prayer to God is for my fellow Jews that I can reach them with the Savior. They have a righteousness, but their righteousness is all tied up in keeping the law. And they need to realize that that's not going to be good enough. The righteousness they need is the righteousness that Christ imparts when they accept Him. And so he said, to the Jews, I became as a Jew so that I could reach them. He said, to them that are without the law, talking about the Gentiles, I became as under the law. He said, I didn't break the laws of God, but to the Gentiles, I tried to identify with them. I tried to find things in common with them so that I could have a touch point with them so that I could gain them for Jesus. And then he said, to the weak, I became as weak. Again, so that I could identify with them. And he closes out that passage of Scripture by saying, I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now, I point out to you tonight that Jesus did the same thing when he walked the face of the earth. You stop and think about how Jesus dealt with different people. He didn't deal with Nicodemus in the same way that he dealt with the woman at the well. They came from two different walks of life. Nicodemus was a religious leader, a religious ruler. The woman at the well had been married 5 times, was living with a man that was not her husband. I mean, you cannot approach those two people in the same way. Jesus came to where they were. He dealt with Nicodemus as somebody that knew the law. He dealt with the woman at the well as somebody that needed a Savior. He didn't deal with the disciples in the same way. Now, we don't know how he dealt in detail with a lot of the disciples, but we can see how he dealt with Peter. We can see how he dealt with John. We can see a little bit how he dealt with Thomas. And he dealt with his disciples in different ways as he interacted with them on a personal basis. Now, he taught them all. I mean, then when they were in group settings, they all got the same teaching. They all got the same preaching. But when he was dealing with them one-on-one, he had a different approach to John than he did to Peter, than he did to Thomas. He dealt with individuals. He dealt with Mary different than he dealt with Martha. They were sisters living in the same home, the sisters of Lazarus. And his interactions with Mary were different than they were with Martha. He dealt with the rich young ruler that came to him and said, Master, what must I do to be saved? Different than he dealt with the leper that came to him for healing. In every case, and I won't take the time to mention any more tonight, but in every case where we see Jesus dealing with an individual in the pages of the Bible, we see him dealing with that person where they were. He found something common, a touch point, that he could get them to identify with him so that he could win them to himself. His purpose was always the same, to seek and to save that which was lost, to win them to himself. And I was thinking that Jesus hasn't changed. In Hebrews, it tells us that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And let me just, and it was, you know, just right after Christmas, when you think about the different names that are in the Bible for the Savior. And I just jotted down a list as we were flying about how Jesus does this today. Consider this. To the astrologer, that person that studies the stars, he's the bright and morning star. To the horticulturist, the person that studies flowers, he's the Rose of Sharon. and the lily of the valley. To the shepherd, he's the good shepherd. To the soldier, he's the captain of our salvation. To the lonely, he is Emmanuel, God with us. To the hungry, he's the bread of life. To the thirsty, he's the living water. To the lost, he's the way. To the philosopher, he's the truth. To the dead, he's the resurrection and the life. To the builder, he's the door. To royalty, he's the King of Kings. To the common man, he's the Son of Man. To the powerful, he's the omnipotent. To the wise, he's the omniscient. To the downhearted, he's the encourager. To the downhearted, he's the comforter. To the discouraged, he's the encourager. To the fallen, he's the lifter-upper. That's a name given to the Holy Spirit over there in the book of Hebrews. To the guilty, he's our advocate. To the dirty, he's the cleaner-upper. To the sinner, he's the justifier. To the sacrificer, he's the Passover lamb. To the confused, he's the counselor. To the conflicted, he's the Prince of Peace. To the questioner, he's the answer. To the subject, he's the Lord of Lords. To the fisherman, he's the fisher for men. To the lost, he's the seeker. And to those in darkness, he's the light of the world. I thought it kind of neat tonight when Chris picked out the first song. And I know she doesn't do it tonight. She does it a couple days in advance. More about Jesus would I know. And I said that goes exactly along with what I want to say tonight. The more you know about Jesus, the more you see where he reaches out to different people in different stations of life, finds a touch point with that person for the purpose of winning them to himself. It's true in the Old Testament as well. Remember when Moses met God at the burning bush there in the wilderness when he was keeping his father-in-law's sheep? And in that burning bush, God called Moses and commissioned him to go to Egypt and said, I want you to go back. I want you to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses said, okay, when I get back there and to your people, to my people, and they ask me, well, what's the name of the God that sent you? How should I answer them? What was his answer? What did the answer to get from God? Anybody remember? I am. That's right, Reg. I am that I am. You tell them when you get back that I am sent me. And I've read that and studied that. And you know what? To make it real, you got to put a blank after it. I am blank. You fill in the blank. What do you need? That's what God is. I am the good shepherd. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. You fill in the blank. What do you need in your life? That's what God is. When he says, I am, he was appealing to every single person saying, I will be the God that you need. I will be the thing that you need in your life. Don't care what your walk is. Don't care what your occupation is. Don't care what your history is. I will be God to you. I am. I am. A little chorus, we don't sing it much here, but a little chorus that runs through my mind sometimes. Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. All I need. And he is. He's everything that we need. Now, here's my message tonight. We are his ambassadors. We are his representatives. We need to do the same thing. We need to be to people what they need to be. We need to get to where they are. We need to find a touch point with people so that we can win them to Jesus. We need to find something in common with them. We need to somehow identify with them, get down to where they are, however you want to say it. Not get down in their sin, but somehow find a common point with people and become all things to all men so that we can say like Paul, that by all means we can win some. Jesus said, if you follow me, I'll make you what? Fishers of men. Now, I'm not much of a fisherman. When I was young, we didn't live too far from the Detroit River. And we go down to a little town called Ecorse, which wasn't too far from where I grew up. The river ran through Ecorse and Wyandotte down there in Downriver. And sometimes on Saturday morning, we'd get up early, get a can of worms, go down and have a, whatever they called them back then. It wasn't an egg McMuffin, but it was an egg sandwich at a little hamburger joint, and then we'd go fishing. The only thing I ever fished with was worms. I didn't know that you needed different kinds of bait to catch different kinds of fish. In fact, I really wasn't exposed to it, and I think I've shared this with you one time before, until I came to GMI. Now, they didn't teach you that in GMI, but when I was going to GMI, I had an opportunity to be interim pastor at a small church up in Standish, just up the road a little bit. They had a house that they converted into a church. The auditorium was the garage. Sunday school rooms were throughout the house. And we'd have about 50 people in the summertime when we ran a campaign or something like that. We'd open up the garage door and put chairs down the driveway and have, I think the most we ever had was 70. And we had them overflowing down the driveway. And some of the time, I'd go up on Saturday night and spend the night, especially when I was at home during my work section at GMI. I'd come up, drive up on Saturday night, and there was a family there called the Pistru family. They owned a little motel there in Standish, but he was a fisherman and a hunter. And I'll never forget the first time he took me down his basement, and there was one whole wall. All there was different kind of bait. I mean, not live bait, but, you know, lures that you use for different kind of fish. And then on the other wall, there were these little jars. I said, what are those? He said, those are scents. I said, what do you mean scents? He said, they're smells. They're things that you put in your traps to attract the animals. And I went out with him one Saturday morning. He'd put out a bunch of, and I don't even know what he was trapping. He put them by the side of the river. Muskrats. Would you trap muskrats by the side of the river? Muskrats, I guess it was. And he'd empty out the trap, take this varmint-looking thing and put it in a bag, and then he'd take something and put on that trap and take this little bottle and pour the scent on the whatever he had in the trap. And I thought to myself, and as I've thought about it since, if fishermen and hunters, and I know some of you are hunters, and I don't think I've ever been deer hunting. In fact, I know I've never been deer hunting. I went squirrel hunting one time. Debbie's dad took me one time, so I'm going to teach you how to hunt squirrel. And so he said, just take the rifle, and I'd never fired a gun before. Just sort of follow that squirrel, and when you got him in your sight, pull the trigger. Well, I did exactly that. Unfortunately, when I pulled the trigger, the squirrel was about 2 feet above his head, and I almost shot him. And he never took me hunting again. But I know some of you go to a great extent. I mean, you build these fancy blinds in the woods, and you know, you take these carrots out there, starting before deer season, you put them in the same spot so the deer will come and feed on those carrots or on a soft block that they lick or something like that. So when deer season opens, you know, the deer will be right there and you can get them. And here's the thought that came to my mind. If we go to that much trouble to catch fish, and if we go to that much trouble to trap muskrat, and if we go to that much trouble to shoot deer, why shouldn't we go to the same extent to reach people for Jesus Christ? Every single person will not take the same worm. Every single person will not take the same bait. Every single person cannot be approached the same way. We need to find something in common with that person, a touch point, and become all things to all men so that we can say, like Paul, that by all means we can save some. Jesus said in the book of Matthew, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, we were reminded this week at one of the places that we went that different situations call for different kinds of lights. Different levels of light, different ways that they are directed, different ways that they are reflected. For example, You don't plug a spotlight into your sprocket, into your plug to use as a nightlight. I mean, you want a real low-level light for a nightlight, and when you want a spotlight, you want some like we got out in the... I mean, we do not want a nightlight at the top of our light pole in the parking lot. Right, Brother Edge? No, we want a spotlight. We want it to give lots of light. Nor do you want a spotlight in your nightlight socket at night. You never go to sleep. It'd be too bright. We learned in Adam and Chantel like this that there was a certain way you ought to have your lights set if you wanted to have a romantic evening. I mean, you don't want 18 spotlights shining down on you. You want a low level of light. You want a different kind of light if you're going to work. You want a work light and level so that you can work. A flashlight. I mean, a spotlight plugged into an extension cord will not accomplish the same purpose that a flashlight will. You can go places with a flashlight that you can't go with an extension cord. I guess you could, but it'd be a lot of trouble. But so different kind of lights. I mean, you don't want your headlights on the back of your car. You would blind the people behind you. Nor do you want your taillights on the front of your car, because you would not be able to see anything. I mean, there's different lights for different... And I say, oh, this is really deep preaching, I know. But here's my point. There are different kind of lights for different kinds of situations. Now, Jesus says, you're the light of the world. You're the light of the world. There are different kinds of lights. There are different ways that you need to let your light shine to reach different people in your life. Sometimes you need to be a spotlight. And you need to let all of God show through. Sometimes you just need to be a little nightlight. Just to get your foot in the door. To start to reach that person. I become all things to all men that by all means I can save some. Now, that truth plays itself out every Sunday in this place. Here's what I mean by that. The ladies that work in the nursery during Sunday school have a different approach to their students in Sunday school than Brother Dick does in his class. And Brother Dick has a different approach to those fourth, fifth, sixth, first, second, and third graders in his class than Chris does with the teenagers. And even in our adult Sunday school class, Brother John uses a different approach than Brother Leonard does to get to different people, to reach different people. Same thing. Herb does not use the same approach in junior church, and Clinton didn't either when he had it, that I would use in here. Now, they would preach and they would teach, but they'll do it in a different way to reach different people. That's why when we have the men and ladies fellowship, we do it one way, and when John has the hymn meetings on Tuesday night, he does it a different way. Can you imagine how it would go over if our next ladies and men's meeting, we tried to approach it like we do on Tuesday night? And can you imagine if we came in on Tuesday night and John used the same approach that we did for our ladies and men's fellowship meetings? I mean, do you get my point? Paul said, I become all things to all men that I might by all means save some. And my point is tonight, that's exactly what Jesus did when he was here on earth. He became all things to all men, same purpose, to seek and to save that which was lost. Now we're his ambassadors. We're his fishers of men. We're his lights of the world. And we ought to use the same approach that our master did. We ought to use the same approach that the apostle Paul did. Become all things, all men, to save some. Because you see, God's not willing that any should perish. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. We ought to have the same attitude. We ought to have the same desire. Everybody, listen to this, everybody needs Jesus. And I'm glad that we have a Savior that didn't write us off the first time we heard the gospel and rejected it. second time we heard the gospel and rejected it. The third time we heard the gospel and rejected it. I'm glad we have a God that keeps coming back and coming back and coming back and coming back and coming back. He gave us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to receive Him. Too often, we present the gospel once, twice, three times, and we say, that old heathen will never get saved. And shame on us. Because that's sure not the attitude that Jesus had. Until they're in hell, you ought to keep witnessing to them. You ought to keep telling them the story of Jesus. And we ought to try to find that common point where we can touch them and let them see that Jesus is all that they need. And He becomes to them whatever they need. And we ought to say like Paul, I become all things to all men, that by all means I can win something. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Paul's example. Thank You for making our Savior the I Am God. Everything we need wrapped up in Jesus. Every aspect of His life. And we could spend the rest of the night and the rest of the week and the rest of the month and the rest of the year and still not exhaust what Jesus is to different people. And I pray that we would approach others in that same way. That when we go out and try to tell people about Jesus, we would try to find the point in their life that we could touch them and introduce them to that aspect of the Savior. Father, I pray if there's somebody here tonight that doesn't know in a personal way what it is to trust Christ, tonight would be the night they see themselves as a sinner and they see the price on Calvary that was paid for their salvation and they ask Jesus to be their Savior. Speak to us as Christians. Encourage us. Do in our hearts tonight what we know needs to be done. We'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in His name we pray.